This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
7:35 in the morning, you are listening to The Morning Run on Tuesday, the 4th of January. I'm Shazana, together with Wong Xiaoning and Philip C. We're taking a look at the RCEP, which is, of course, the Regional Comprehensive Economic Partnership Trade Agreement. It came into force on the 1st of January for 10 of the 15 signatory states. South Korea will follow suit a month later on 1st February. However, four countries have yet to ratify the agreement, namely Indonesia, Philippines, Myanmar, and ourselves, Malaysia.
Now, the RCEP is the biggest trade agreement to date, covering nearly a third of the global population and about 30% of global GDP. HSBC predicts that this will rise to 50% by 2030, indicating the fast-growing economies that actually make up the bloc. So what do countries stand to gain from RCEP? And conversely, what might countries lose out if they're not part of the club?
Joining us for an overview of the economic impact of RCEP, we have Rajiv Biswas, Chief Economist at IHS Markit. Rajiv, good morning. Thanks for joining us. How will the trade agreement affect GDP growth and trade relations of the member states who are part of RCEP?
The economic size of the 15 nations that are covered by the RCEP agreement is very large compared to other regional free trade agreements. The combined GDP of the 15 members of RCEP amounts to $30 trillion, which is much larger by comparison to the EU, which is only 17 trillion relatively. The RCEP region is also forecast to grow very rapidly over the next decade. So RCEP GDP is forecast to reach $52 trillion by 2030. And this will create fast-growing export markets within RCEP relative to growth in trade in other parts of the world. The Asian Development Bank has estimated that by 2030, RCEP will add around 3 million new jobs in the Asia-Pacific region, and also that the RCEP total regional income will be boosted by about $250 billion because of RCEP. One important advantage of RCEP is its very favorable rules of origin treatment, which will help to build manufacturing supply chains within the RCEP region. But other benefits are also important, including tariff reductions and also reductions of non-tariff barriers for trade in goods and in services.
Which countries do you think stand to benefit the most from RCEP?
Well, I think different countries will gain different benefits from this. For example, countries that have strong manufacturing establishments within their nation will be better positioned to benefit from new investment in manufacturing. So particularly, I would say, Southeast Asian manufacturing hubs, such as Malaysia, also Vietnam, and also Thailand, will be quite well positioned. I think Indonesia and Philippines will also benefit because many global multinationals are looking to diversify their global manufacturing supply chains away from China. And the natural choice will be Southeast Asia. And the RCEP agreement does provide important benefits due to these rules of origin regulations that help firms to establish supply chains within the RCEP grouping.
But Rajiv, there are a few signatories that have not ratified the agreement, including Malaysia. Do they share common reasons for not doing so? And could we actually see any countries back out?
I think if we look at who are still remaining to ratify the agreement, in ASEAN, Indonesia, Malaysia, Philippines and Myanmar are yet to ratify it. And if we look at the situation in Malaysia, Indonesia and Philippines, it's very much about the process of ratification, internal discussions within the parliamentary system, and also some lobbying is still going on from different interest groups in some countries. So if we look firstly at the case of Malaysia, the legislation for ratification of RCEP has reached the stage of being considered by parliament for approval. It's quite a similar situation in Indonesia. The Indonesian Parliamentary Commission that looks at trade regulations has already approved the RCEP ratification, but the legislation is now to be brought to parliament, and a vote is expected to be held in parliament in the first quarter of 2022. And after that, the final step would be that Indonesian President Jokowi would then sign the ratification legislation. In the Philippines, it's a similar kind of situation where the Philippines Senate has to approve free trade agreements such as RCEP, and the Philippines Congress ended 2021 without approving the RCEP agreement. So now the expectation is that the Senate would have to prioritize this ratification in its legislative agenda during the sessions in 2022. That does seem like the governments of these ASEAN countries are moving ahead with trying to get it ratified. But of course, in the end, it does depend on the decision of the parliament. So even if the government wants it to be ratified, the decision in the end has to be made by the parliament. So that is a very crucial step.
If we could zoom in on Malaysia in particular, what are the drawbacks for us if we fail to ratify the RCEP?
Well, based on recent assessments by MarTrade, if RCEP is approved by Malaysia and Malaysia is, you know, joining the existing membership in implementing RCEP, then export revenue would increase by about 44 billion ringgit per year once RCEP is ratified. So Malaysian industries would benefit from wider market access and also tariff concessions, which will boost trade with other RCEP members. Therefore, if there's delays in ratifying the agreement, particularly if it takes years to get to that point, then, of course, the cost to the Malaysian economy from this delay would be quite substantial as each year goes by. And on top of all that, of course, if countries are not part of the RCEP, then multinationals may not choose them for their investment locations, at least until they are members of RCEP. So those things may deter multinationals from selecting a country that's not already ratified RCEP in favor of one that has. So these are some of the considerations if the delay becomes too long for Malaysia ratifying RCEP.
The RCEP was viewed as China's answer to the CPTPP, but even China is looking to gain access to the CPTPP. So how would you compare the two agreements in terms of trade impact?
Well, as things stand right now, RCEP is considerably bigger than CPTPP in terms of the total size of the economies that are members. So RCEP is the biggest mega trade deal in the world in terms of a regional trade agreement. But the geographic scope of these two agreements are somewhat different. RCEP has 15 members, all of which are in the Asia Pacific and include China, the world's second biggest economy, Japan, and also the whole of ASEAN. In contrast, the CPTPP, as it stands right now, does not include China, but it does include a number of nations in the Americas. And particularly, I would mention Canada and Mexico, which are very big economies in the world stage. Therefore, for example, for Malaysia, the CPTPP does offer different new opportunities to RCEP to develop new export market access in North America. An important point with CPTPP is that the UK has also applied to join CPTPP and negotiations are going quite well. So it looks likely that the UK would become a member quite soon. And therefore, Malaysia would also get improved market access to the UK economy, which is the fifth biggest in the world. However, the status of China's application is still not clear. There's still uncertainty about whether the CPTPP membership will agree to open talks with China in the near future. So I think those are some of the geographic differences. There's also differences in terms of scope. For example, RCEP does not have chapters on state-owned enterprises or on environment or on labor, whereas CPTPP does have. And of course, as we've already talked about, RCEP has one very big benefit due to its favorable rules of origin treatment, which is a very important factor in attracting investment in manufacturing.
Now, while we have you, Rajiv, looking more broadly at global trade, what do you think will be the key issues in focus for 2022?
I think if we take a step back and see what happened in 2021, world trade rebounded very strongly after that deep recession back in 2020. So in 2021, world trade grew at 23%, very, very strong. And Asia-Pacific exports are estimated to have grown at about 24%. So after such strong growth in 2021, the pace of trade expansion in 2022 is expected to still be positive, but much more moderate. And we're estimating in the region of around 5% additional growth in world trade on top of that spectacular increase in 2021. However, there will be challenges still ahead in 2022. A key issue that impacted on world trade in 2021 were shipping disruptions due to supply chain problems. There were shortages of containers and also port congestion and COVID restrictions in many countries also impacted on port operating efficiency. These problems with world shipping are expected to persist at least in the first half of 2022. And in particular, if the new Omicron variant results in new waves of COVID hitting many nations, then these disruptions could become quite significant if they affect port operations. So there's still a lot of problems ahead, I think, with these disruptions that we've seen already happening throughout 2021. And it really looks like this will persist at least going into the first half of 2022.
Thanks very much for speaking to us this morning, Rajiv. That was Rajiv Biswas, Chief Economist at IHS Markit, giving us a bit of a rundown on how the RCEP trade agreement could impact the region and also what Malaysia stands to lose if we don't ratify the agreement post-haste.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.